following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland, from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, USA, where this broadcast originates all the time. Well, that just kind of got weird and long, didn't it? Hey, how's it going? A couple of weeks ago, it was New Year's Eve. And sit back, kids, I have a tale to tell. Well, I guess there's a bit of a tale to tell here. You see, what you're about to hear is a recording that was made that night in our studios, Studio B at Radio Memphis. And the reason why I say you didn't hear it is because it wasn't broadcast. And why was it not broadcast? Well, I'll tell you. our friends, I use that word in quotes, friends at Comcast Business had a problem. They had with them an issue. We were off the air. We had started at about 8 p.m. Central. We had noticed that before then, about 6:30, there was an issue, and we got it somewhat corrected and sorted out, and it was fine. We were back on the air. It wasn't that big of an issue. But then at 8 o'clock, we went on the air with, as we had planned, our New Year's Eve show based in the Booze and Blues. And, well, it wasn't happening. Our systems had shut down. There was no internet connection. Our phones were down. We had nothing. We were just dead air. And you do what you would normally do. You call Comcast and say, hey, what's up? Well, of course, you're dealing with an automated system when you first call them. If those of you who have Comcast know about this, maybe your internet service provider is the same way, I'm not sure. But you call in and you wind up getting this artificial intelligent, use that very loosely as well, and they want to know what your, please state your problem. And you know, you're going through this stuff and it's, well, there's an unplanned outage and you'll be back on the air at 1 a.m. or whatever. And of course, I'm hearing all this bad news and I'm getting really pissed off at this point because we had a show planned. We had Zeke Johnson in the studio, for God's sake, and we had all these people in there, and we had promoted the hell out of this thing. Our advertisers are all geared up. Everything's looking really good. And I'm like, look, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to talk to this machine. I need to talk to a human being. And I, of course, hung up, and then I called back, and I started using really adult language with the automation system. This is a trick, okay? This is a trick that'll benefit you. If you want to speak to a real human, because it'll tell you, there's no human being that can help you with your problem. So to get to one, use really adult language, you know? I want to speak to a fucking human. Say stuff like that. The thing will pause and it will say, I understand you want to speak to a technician. Please hold while I transfer your call. Well, okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Then the thing comes on and says, due to an unusual high volume of calls, you got an estimated wait time of X number of minutes. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm on terminal hold. Meanwhile, there's a whole party that has broken out there in the studios, and I'm over here on the phone trying to get some business done, and it's really kind of pissing me off even further. Ultimately, long story short, I finally get some dude on the phone who could have been less interested in helping me out. He was already indignant about the fact that probably because he was having to work on New Year's Eve. Second of all, he's got an angry radio guy on the other end of the line who wants answers, wants to know what's going on. And the guy was like, well, you should have listened to our automation system. It said there's nothing I can do to help you out. And I said, give me some fucking answers. Give me some real data that I can work with. Tell me what's going on. So he says, okay, hang on. He comes back and he feeds me some line about the nodes, the internet nodes, where the fiber optic connects to the coaxial systems and all that. It's been hit by a truck and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a while before they fix it. There's technicians out there already, and it'll be 1 a.m. before they have you back up and running. I'm like, dude, this is unacceptable. We pay you guys a lot of money for this service. And the guy gets, he cops an attitude with me about all of this. And I said, look, dude, I'm not blaming you specifically, whatever your random name is, Freddie or whatever it is. I'm like, dude, give me something I can work with here. All right. You know, show a little compassion about this whole sort of thing, because I'm going to send you, I'm going to send Comcast an invoice for all of our lost advertisement revenue. You see, this is going to happen. At 11:45, 11:50 p.m., a few moments before the midnight hour, we were back on the air just in time for us to unscrew a bottle of Asti Spumante. I don't know if it was Asti. It was, I forget, J. Roger Spumante or whatever it was, some horrid gasoline-like fizzy stuff. So Diane and I cracked it open. We drank it. By this point, everybody was gone. Well, while we were in the waiting mode, we decided, well, there's not much we can do here, so let's just go ahead and record the thing, and we'll run it later, which is precisely what we did. We sat down with Zeke Johnson, great local historian, musician, bluesman, just an all-around gentleman and scholar, and we got his story, some of the stories that some of the people that he'd worked with over the years. He played a little bit for us. We celebrated New Year's Eve with just a few of us there in studio, and it was a magical moment. We recorded it, and that's what we're going to play back for you. You didn't hear this because it wasn't broadcast, and this will be its only time. So check it out. We'll get to it. Zeke Johnson, New Year's Eve. It's the subject of this episode from Radioland right after this.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company, Ancient Burial Mounds, Yellow Fever, Maritime Disasters, Victorian murders and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
Zeke Johnson here in the studio here on this illustrious, interesting evening.
Interesting, very interesting. It is a New Year's Eve special edition of Booze and Blues right here on Radio Memphis.
He said that with a straight face.
Because I'm a pro. I can make that happen.
Well, yes, you are. Yeah, we'll be talking about this night for a while, I'm sure.
Just, you know.
As it is. So, but nevertheless, Zeke has been here this evening. Very gracious of him to come and spend his holiday with us. And our friend Mr. Steve Seligman is here as well.
Very gracious. And for those of you that may be hanging out like us, only here in the room.
Yeah.
Yes, the East Coast is going to be celebrating their New Year in about 15 minutes.
Thanks for the update.
You're welcome.
Like a giving. What are they doing?
Well, I'm just trying to keep it real.
I know. But no, we've had a great time so far this evening, and
we've had fun.
It's bitterly cold outside.
It's bitterly cold, so
it's nice and toasty down here in the
awesome
bunker.
Down here, and we've had fun. We've had friends, you know. We've been conversing, eating cookies and junk and stuff.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So Zeke, thank you so much for being down here.
Well, all right, thank you.
It's always a pleasure to have you around here. I always feel like I have learned something after I've spent some time with you.
Well, thank you.
You were a teacher by trade, weren't you?
35 years, yes.
What did you teach?
A little bit of everything.
Sex ed?
No.
they wouldn't let them.
No, they wouldn't let me do that. About half of it was English and theater, and then the about 17, 18 years of it, and then about the last 17 or 18 was mainly history.
Really?
World history.
Good for you. Oh,
yeah. But I taught humanities, I taught mythology, just kind of, if it
How
had to
cool
do with the
that?
Liberal arts, I did a couple of music appreciation classes, just singing stuff.
Well, see, now that makes total perfect sense now.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. Mythology.
Uh-huh.
No, okay, that's awesome. Now I'm looking at you in a completely different light.
People don't understand mythology in a lot of cases. And, I used to tell my kids I just did it as simple as Lincoln and Martin Luther King.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I said there is an historical Lincoln and there is a historical Martin Luther King.
See,
and there is also the myths.
Mm-hmm. There was a mythical Lincoln.
There's a mythical Lincoln. There's a mythical King.
Yeah.
I think that's what upset people so much at Dr. Abernathy. I had a child, one of my students, whose grandmother had been the woman implicated when Dr. Abernathy put out his book about King.
Yeah.
And said he was doing it to be historically accurate. No, of course he wasn't. I know. And this young man said to me, and I mean, he was just almost crying. He said, "Mr. Zeke, I may go to hell myself for saying this, but," he said, "I hope that man rots in hell."
Oh,
wow.
About Dr. Abernathy. And he said, "I know if I do go to hell for this, I bet he'd be right there beside me when I get there." And the philandering is something of the King myth that didn't need to enter King mythology.
No, it didn't.
No, it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
That's not historical record.
No, not at all.
Anyway, speaking of historical record, this may be the first blues song I ever learned.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Wow.
And
okay.
It was taught to me by somebody who didn't teach me to play the guitar, but he inspired me to learn. He was a sailor named Al Mossberg. He sang under the stage name of Moss. Lied with the absolute best of them. He had us convinced that he knew Bob Dylan. He had us convinced that he knew Jesse Colin Young. He said, "Me and Jess and them, you know, and Johnny Hammond and all that." I don't think he knew any of them. He was just a sailor out at Mullington. But he sure could play. And this has smatterings of, you'll hear six or seven different blues songs probably in here.
Yes, sir.
But this is how I learned it, by listening to Moss. Gonna leave me, I beg you don't do it. We've had some trouble, but we made it our way through it. I'll come back, baby, let's talk it over just one more time. Tell everybody in the neighborhood I'm a dirty misreader. Don't mean you no good. But come back, baby, let's talk it over just one more time. Heard a whistle, didn't hear no train. I'm sitting here crying in the driving rain. Come back, baby, let's talk it over. One more time. Here's a verse that goes in just for the night. Starting 2018, honey, some I'm gonna miss. Like years in the past, won't be starting with little Ashley's kiss. Oh, come back, baby, let's talk it over just one more time. Let's play it a while now. Thank you. Larry Steven. You're sounding just fine. If I could holler like a mountain jack, I'd climb his mountain, call my baby back. I say, come back, baby, let's talk it over just one more time. Oh, come back, baby, let's talk it over just one more time.
Oh, yeah, that's sweet.
Very nice.
Isn't it nice?
Very nice.
Just like one more time. Just talk it over one more time.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
And that's the first song you learned.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a song to be the first one to learn.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. What like I say, it's got there's elements in there of you ain't gonna worry my mind anymore. There's all kind of bits and pieces from different songs, but that's kind of the way it went.
There's a little Honey Boy in there too, and
there's a
bunch in there that's all happening.
Yeah, well, you know, my specialties, you know, I'd say Delta, Hill Country, and Beale Street. Those are my specialties.
Is Beale Street its own thing, you think, musically?
I think very definitely.
I know. It became kind of a melting pot
because
for a lot of players.
You know, Handy, of course, wrote really sophisticated, orchestrated things.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
But you can make easily turn Handy's fancy stuff into just plain old folk music.
Mm-hmm.
Just plain old folk blues.
Yeah.
Let's just experiment with that.
Well, let's do it.
Let's do that.
I mean, I'm going to school.
I know. I feel like I am in school. Well, he was a teacher.
Well, he still is.
Apparently so.
The seven wonders of the world I've seen. Oh, the fine place that I've seen. Better take my advice, see Beale Street twice. You see beautiful gals, beautiful gowns, tailor-made and hand-me-down. You meet honest men, pickpocket skilled. Oh, the business never closes till somebody gets killed. I'd rather be there. Every place I know, Lord, it's gonna take your sergeant for to make me go. Lord, if Beale Street can talk, Beale Street can talk. Married men would have to take their beards up and walk. But except for a few, never drank booze, and the blind man on the corner sings the Beale Street blues. I'd rather be in any place I know. Lord, it's gonna take a police for to make me go. River, great love by and by. come you fixin' do that? Y'all cause the river's wet. You see, it's done time dry. Now the fields speak the talk. The fields speak the talk. Married men have to pack their bags up and walk. Except for a few who never drink booze. The blind man on the corner sings a beauty blues. I'd rather be in any place I know. Now they're gonna take a police, gonna take a sergeant, take a whole damn army to make me go.
Oh yeah, okay, I see what that is.
Wow. Nice.
Zeke, maybe you can help me understand this. The I think it was the Memphis Jug Band that was a thing back at, like from like the late mid to late 20s all the way through to like nearly 1950, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were a bunch of guys that came through there over the years.
Yeah, early 20s too, even.
I think it was Will Shade was part of that.
Will Shade, Casey Bell Weldon was with them for a little while. Charlie Burris, Gus Cannon, of course.
Yeah.
Noah Lewis on the harmonica.
I mean, they had like 100 guys that came through there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So would that be a good indicative description of what the Beale Street Blues sound was?
Oh, yeah. But then again, also with the Beale Street Blues sound, you're going to have Memphis Minnie and Kansas Joe, and then Memphis Minnie and her second husband, Ernest Lawler's little son, Joe.
Right.
The Beale Street Sheiks, Frank Stokes and Dan Sane.
Yes.
Frank Stokes and Will Batts. You get that Beale Street duet, which there are subtle differences, but there are definite differences between the Beale Street duets and the Tommy Johnson, Charlie McCoy duets.
Right,
Jackson.
Right.
There's some definite, clear differences. So.
Yeah, because there was a lot of fantastic stuff that came out of there. I mean, just just pure gold nuggets that were in there, and then along came Furry, and Furry just kind of rewrote all of that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Furry did a version of St. Louis Blues. It's just wonderful.
Now you knew Furry, didn't you?
I did.
You spent some time with him, didn't you?
Matter of fact, I played with him for 2 years when he and Lee Baker got on outs for a little while.
Yeah. Stephen, that was an ugly giggle over there.
Lee Bailey, but thankfully they had reconciled before Furry died. Fine. Thank goodness. So,
yeah,
it would, you know, as well as I matched up with Furry, I have to say that Lee, you know. Lee would have been, if we were sons, Lee would have been the big brother by far.
I see.
Lee, and of course, for an every, at one time, I heard him, there's one record they've got out, one CD with Furry and Lee called Take Your Time. And Furry calls him Lee Baker every time on that record. Which is just astonishing because it was always Lee Bailey.
Yes. And,
when I was in rehab from my heart surgery, the Mississippi All Stars, Luther and Cody, they put out a CD, and one of the songs on there was a tribute to Lee Baker, and it was. I don't know enough of it to do just, but here's how it sounded. Oh, the days are so lonely, nights are so long, since poor Lee Bailey caught the train and gone. Left me here to sing his song. Days are so lonely, nights are so long.
Yeah, I see where you're going with it. Yeah.
Okay.
So Lee Baker and Jim Dickinson were the movers and the shakers back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And they had Sid Selvage, Jim Crossway. They were
Yeah, Jimmy Crossway and them, yeah.
I can't even remember the name of their band, but I remember...
Mudboy, wasn't it?
Mudboy and the Neutron.
Yeah, Mudboy and the Neutron.
Jim was coming out with, like, tutus on back in the
60s. Yeah. He'd put on scuba gear and lay in a neighbor's pool and just and write music in his head, you know, just from laying... Yeah.
No, he and Sam
nothing to do with the 60s.
The two most intense people
to
talk to in Memphis.
Oh, yeah. They're intense.
Very serious, very bright, and very intense.
On a TV special, Jim did a Sam. He said when Sam was really enthusiastic about something, he'd just come right in your face and say, you know what I mean?
He's one of those guys,
And my wife used to get mad at Jim for playing piano with a rubber chicken. You know, she said, damn it, that man is so talented. How come he's playing the guitar? I'm playing the piano with a rubber chicken. I said, well, that's just
what he does.
What he does, you know. I said, that's the same mind that ended the poem. Lost and lean as the 414 and lonesome as all outdoors.
Yeah.
I said, you know, that's an interesting mind there, yeah.
Going back to Furry Lewis, I heard a story about him and I believe it to be true, and it revolved around the Rolling Stones playing the Liberty Bowl one summer.
Yeah.
And
I missed that.
It was very, very hot.
Yes.
And they decided that they would want to have an opening act to get away from the heat so Mick could not have to deal with the heat for a minute. They would play after dark, which means that he's only going to get into the really, really sweltering heat.
Yeah.
So there had been some talk backstage, and it was Keith that said, hey, look, Furry Lewis lives around here. I think we could go get him to play. So after a couple of phone calls, some deals were made. They went to go see Furry, and they got his guitar out of Hawk for it, I think.
That's right.
But wasn't the Dickinsons, weren't they buddies with Furry? Oh, Dickinsons?
They knew Furry.
I think so, yeah. I think you're right, Stephen. Yeah.
I was trying to remember how that, because...
And then they wound up getting him out there, and he wound up playing like an hour and a half before the Stones did on this sold-out thing at the Liberty Bowl.
But I heard he got, like, the fans were irate and were booing him off the stage, and the Stones were mad. Because I know that, especially Bill Wyman, when the Stones came to town, they went straight down to Como and hung out. You know, he hung out with Jim.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
because he was like the blues guy, the real...
Oh, sure.
Really interested in all the history. And,
sure.
And Jim was the guy that hooked into all that between Junior Kimbrough and the Burnsides.
Oh, yeah. 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 Grabbing that North Mississippi thing.
I hadn't heard that the crowd didn't like Furry.
I hear that part either.
I heard was that, it was an ugly thing because they were irate because the Stones were supposed to be out. And they've got this funky black blues man up there playing. You know, I mean, you know, the Stones are high energy.
In front of like 40,000 people there.
You put Zeke out there, and then they're waiting for the Stones.
They're waiting for Start Me Up.
That's not exactly what they're getting.
I
don't think it was done. It was more like Honky Tonk Women, I think, point. You know, I think they wrote that at Ernestine and Hazel's upstairs.
Because it was about the same time Jim did the gig with them in the studio in Muscle Shoals.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Wild Horses.
Yeah, Wild Horses.
Ron, I don't know if he still does, but Ron Wood kept a Shelby County address for quite some time.
Did he really? Yeah, I didn't know that.
I think he lived out in Arlington or Bolton or someplace like that.
Well, you know, and all those guys worked at Carl Perkins.
Oh, yeah, big time.
I think several of them came to his funeral.
I think.
You know, in Jackson.
Oh,
I don't
sure.
think anybody ever said it better than Winona about Carl. She said, he was the coolest cat who ever lived. And I'm telling you, it's hard to dispute that. I mean, Carl was cool Max. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
There's a story that Carl told. They were playing one. You still see these honky-tonks. There's one called Cypress Hut between Mason and Brownsville. There's one just outside of Brownsville called Rocky Top. And those are red nightmare joints that you, if you don't know somebody, you really don't need to be going in. I mean,
they do.
Well, that's,
they
do. Yeah, that's the kind of club we need to go to, man.
You need to go as a group.
You need to go as a group.
Yeah. And
we're with Steven. Zeke gave us the card. Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, they were playing one particular place, and they had already, the crowd had been so rowdy that the bar owner had put up chicken wire in front of the stage.
Chicken wire. Oh, my God, yes.
That's insane.
But one night they were in there, and they were just getting ready to get to play, and this woman just crying uncontrollably walked in.
Was she a crying drunk?
She sat down beside a guy at the bar, pulled a pistol out of her purse, turned and blew his head off.
Oh, God.
And then she turned to the bar owner and she said, "Call the sheriff, Johnny. I've done what I had to do."
Wow.
And Carl said, as soon as they got the mess cleaned up and the sheriff had been gone, he said, we went up and said, "Johnny, we'd like to cash out and leave." He said, "Well, boys, I put chicken wire up for you." And Carl said,
"Wow,
Johnny, chicken wire won't stop no bullet."
That's true.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there used to be a little beer store just outside of Brownsville. Because it was the weirdest thing. Rural Haywood County had legal beer, but not Brownsville. And so the minute you cleared Brownsville proper, there was this beer store. And there was a little beer joint behind there, and I can't remember what it was, but for some reason we needed to go in the beer joint for a minute to, I don't know what, I can't remember what it was.
Probably,
but I mean,
to get beer, to replenish your supplies.
Yeah,
that's about all that's going on in there, I think. Yeah. You know.
Oh, what a thing it was! All up there in the front, they'd kind of run out of stuff, and we had to go back there. And I mean, the minute we walked back there, the jukebox hit pause, and every eye in the place was on us.
Yeah.
And I turned to the guy who was with me, and I said, "Would you mind getting me that beer pretty fast?" I said, "I don't feel like these people want me here." He said, "Well, it's probably that hair." I said, "I don't suppose it'd do any good to tell them I was in the Marines." He said, "No, probably not."
He's telling you your odds are not good.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got our six-pack of tall boys and rolled on down the road.
Yeah, that hair was a very divisive thing back in the 60s.
Oh, man. Oh, God, yeah, hair was a thing, yeah.
We used to have hair checks in school.
Hair checks in school?
Yeah. So, you know, I moved around a lot. So in Lafayette, you know, when I was in, you know, early
get a little closer on the mic there, if you would, yeah.
Early junior high, we didn't have that. You know, you could have any kind of hair you wanted. This would have been in, what, 71 or 72, which is getting kind of late.
Right.
But when I moved to a small town in Mississippi, yeah, it was hair checks. They'd send you home to get a haircut.
Wow.
And I remember when I moved there, I met the football coach. He said, "Hey, it's nice to meet you. When you're getting a haircut?" Because I had this big hair. And all the guys that, you know, that I knew there, they said, "Well, we can take you down to Injun Joe, man." I said, "Who's that?" "He says, barber in town. He'll scalp you."
He'll scalp you. Oh, God.
Damn. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, Zeke, you were in the, you are a Marine.
Yes, I was.
Once a Marine,
always. You got scalp once?
Yeah, I did. I sure did. Yeah.
Did you have to see any action, or were you spared for that?
I was in the reserve the whole time.
Oh, okay, good.
I tried to lie about it one time, and it backfired. And then I realized it's probably one of the most dishonorable things I've ever done, to lie and say you've been in combat when you haven't. That violates the spirit of everything. You know, if we were live on to the world, I probably wouldn't be telling you this.
Yeah, I'll clip that out of there. But yeah,
it was a drunken off-duty waitress at the Dobbs House over there, which is now either CK's or E's there, right next to WHBQ.
Yes.
On Island.
Yes.
And her name was Madge. Her name was Madge. And the staff was just saw what was going on, and they just didn't know what to do. And finally, I got all haughty, and I said, "Lady, I went to Vietnam to stand up for my right to wear my hair like this." Mm-hmm. And she said, "It's a shame the Viet Cong didn't kill your hippie ass." I said, "Oh."
Oh.
Well, the next time I was in there and she was on duty, she just was falling all over herself about how nice. Because she found out from her friends. And apparently she didn't know me that well. And I said, "Man, this guy comes in here about 3 or 4 times a week. Said if he says something to the management, you're probably going to lose your job." And when I went back in, I had no idea. I thought she's going to kiss me. suddenly, and she didn't apologize exactly. It's just that she was suddenly my greatest friend.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't believe she said something like that, though.
Oh, yeah. I can. It was mean back then. Well, of course, it's mean right now.
Yeah, because we're still living it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got a bunch of kids that are out there fighting right now.
That's right.
And they're coming home, and we don't know. Mm-hmm. You know quite what to do with them. You know?
No. Uh-uh. And my a distant cousin has gone to the VA just recently, VA hospital, and they haven't been doing the best job in the world for him.
No, they haven't. Yeah.
That's a shame. Mm-hmm. You know. Well, thank you for your service. For what you've done. I'm a firm believer in all that.
I wrote something on Veterans Day that all of us. I mean, I would never in a minute equate those of us who stayed here and those of us who went there, because that's just a whole...
It's a night and day difference, yeah.
But the minute you took that oath to join until you had your discharge papers, you were scared. Mm-hmm. Whether you went or not, you were scared. Mm-hmm. When it looked like we might be called up, and I was at Newport, Rhode Island, that close to the Canadian border.
I thought.
Of course, I was already in, so Canada would not have been an option for me. Because that had to do with the draft. Canada having an army, well, extradition treaties are reciprocal.
Yes.
Canada didn't have a draft, but Canada did have a standing army. So desertion would be extradited, whereas draft dodging would not.
Right.
Yeah. Those of us who were already in our own options were like Sweden and Russia and Cuba. And, Sweden wouldn't have been so bad, I guess, but Russia and Cuba, no.
I don't know about all that.
No.
So did your military experience shape you as a musician any, you think?
In a way, yes. I came out of the Marines in March of 65. It was too late to get back in school until the summer semester, first semester summer school. So from March to June, I was sitting on like about $950.
Rich, man.
$1,000 in 65 was a shitload of money.
Yeah, school teachers making $2,500 a year.
Yeah. Living at my mother's house, basically expense free. And I paid a little bit of this and that, but mainly she was paying the bills because she was spoiling me because Daddy had died. And I had time to buy a decent guitar. And I had plenty of cool records, and this was the beginning of the heyday of the coffee houses, so I started hanging out at the coffee houses. Didn't take long at all.
Is that the guitar?
No, this is the second one.
This is
the third one I ever owned. The first, my girlfriend who was in the Navy out at Millington, she gave me an old Sears Silvertone.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Which I passed on to my former future stepson. When his mother and I broke up and they went back to West Virginia, And he took that guitar with him. He learned to play some too. I wish I could. I'd love to know if he still has that guitar. And then I bought a Gibson B-25.
Oh, God.
And this friend that I was telling you about that I dedicated the Christmas CD to.
Yeah.
The first words I say on record in the Old and Young CD that Screaming Eagle and I did, I say, Corina for Gordon. Because when I showed Gordon that Gibson B-25, he said, Zeke, you damn fool, you'll never learn to play that thing. You just threw away $150. I needed somebody to say something like that.
I needed to. Absolutely.
So then about a year later, I was going to upgrade to a Gibson Hummingbird. And Paul Kraft was in the guitar shop. He was the owner of the music shop. And he said, I'm going to cost myself $25 here. But he said, this Gil D40 that's $250 is going to sound better for slide blues, I think, than the Gibson Hummingbird, which I charged $275 for. And Paul was one of my musical heroes because, I mean, he was... But, you know, he's since died, but I think he's a Hall of Fame songwriter in Nashville.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And so then when I got this, I've had this since sometime mid-May of 66.
And that's that Guild right there?
This is the Guild, yeah.
Wow.
The $250 guitar.
$250 guitar. The last time I checked the price of it, I asked Strings and Things. Who knows how long Strings and Things has been closed.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, close to 10 years ago, these were retailing, I think, for $1,340.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, and that's been there with you the whole time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no way in the world.
You're not going to part with that thing. No, no way. Of course not. Well, and you acquired it before you got married.
Yes.
Yeah.
4.5 years older than my marriage. Well, yeah, even more than 4.5, May of 66 to December of 70. So 4.5 years.
Yeah, yeah. That's when you got married, was December 70?
December 27th.
So you meet the woman of your dreams and you go, honey, this is a package deal. It's me and the Guild.
Yeah,
we ain't splitting.
Absolutely.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. I'm loving it.
That's such a sweet story, you know. And you know, God love you. You went through her passing, and your life has continued on, and you're doing great. You're doing great stuff, Zeke. You know.
Well,
you really are.
Thank you.
And you know, we've always loved having you around, and I don't quite know how we made our acquaintance. I know you were over at the house several times when this radio station was there, and had to take the canoe from the back gate back to the back door.
Yeah.
What was that? You'd equated to like being was it like Livingston going
Stanley going through the Ituri rainforest?
Again, going through that over there.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You guys. Yeah. You had a jungle back.
Yeah. We still do, actually.
Well, I believe it.
It's filled with dog crap, but it's still there.
I'll tell you what. Since we have talked so lovingly about my guitar.
Yes, sir.
And about my bride.
Yes, sir.
I think this song is the last. It's the number 14 song on the new CD, Songs for Daughters, Zeke and Friends Part 2.
Yeah.
And it's the only successful song I've ever written about my wife. And, of course, when you first say, when you're a widower and you say, now this song is about my wife, everybody goes, yeah, oh, my God, you know, is the guy going to break down and cry? Or you
know? is he going to completely have a fall apart right here?
Yeah. Are we going to witness something? Sappy romantic songs I tried several times, and she was not any good at music, but she understood music very well. And I would finally play a song enough that after all, you know, the obligatory thank you, sweetie, this is so wonderful, I'll treasure it all my life and all that, I finally just turned to her and said, Donovan, this song is not very good, is it? And she kind of got a sheepish grin. She said, well, no, not really. she said, keep trying. She said, don't keep trying. So I was missing the point. I was making them sappy and sentimental. What I should have been doing was to make them about her love of dance and her love of New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
And Cactozo is a pen name she used when she did wrote a lot of doggerel poetry. And Dot Bunny is the nickname that her brother-in-law gave to her. And to this day, she's referred to as the Dot Bunny. And when I posted on our, what would have been our 48th anniversary, 47th anniversary, I referred to the Dot Bunny.
The Dot Bunny.
The Dot Bunny. I say, hey, Cactozo. Say, hey, Cactozo. It's time for the world to know Dot Bunny is your natural name. Well, you come to New Orleans a long time ago. Made in heaven, don't you know? Bourbon Street was not the main show. Porter was a little far Cactozo. I said, hey, Cactozo. Hey, Cactozo. I want to thank you, ma'am, for adopting my name. We never had much money. I come up short of fortune and fame. When old Zeke needed defending, y'all here you came. Dot Bunny, Cactozo. And now you stomping with the heavenly band. They say, come on, girl, sing. You say, ain't no way I can. But I can dance like a fool, don't you know? How come you think they call me Dot Bunny Cactozo? New Orleans, New Orleans. Oh, she's prettier than our Cajun queen. Cook some damn fine rice and red beans. Dot Bunny Cactozo, she's the queen of New Orleans. Book a white up there in heaven with you. Want me to spank the baby a minute during your song? So I guess I'll try that. Buy a St. John's of the natural home. Speck, I'll join you there before too long. Ain't nothing to worry about, just going back home. Dot Bunny Cactozo of mine. I said, hey, New Orleans. I said, hey, New Orleans.
Yeah. That's a nice way to
No, that's a love song.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, absolutely.
That's an absolute love song.
That's a love song.
I've just been missing the point all those years. You know?
That's fantastic.
She was capable of very great sentiment, but sentimentality just made her sick. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why that like worked that. Out. Yeah, you know.
I like that. I totally like that. I think that works for me. You know how I am about that.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Zeke, thank you so very much.
Thank you. I enjoyed every minute of it.
We always enjoy having you with us.
It's always a pleasure to have you around, and you know, we built this place for guys like you, and to hear your stories. And I always have a soft spot in my heart for guys who've been around the barn a time or two, and you know, had looked down the wrong end of a pistol every once in a while, and stood on the right side of a guitar every once in a while as well. You know, and that's life. That's the way it works. And
the only time, crawling under live fire in Marine training, fortunately, even though, I mean, it was like 8 feet above the ground, you know, you had had to jump to get hit.
Right.
But at the same time, when you're crawling on your belly, mm-hmm. and you know there's live machine gun fire going over across you, you think, that's not a good thing. That's not a natural state of affairs.
I like that. It's not a natural state of affairs.
Yeah, I did do, for a stretch, I did too much drinking, and I have spent 2 nights as guest of the county.
Well, Club 201 is a thing here.
I guarantee you those... I told somebody the other night, because she was wondering, she said, I'll text you if I don't get too drunk. And I said, I just want you to remember that the 2 nights I spent at 201 were 2 of the worst months of my life.
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Because once they shut that door behind you, you think, shit, I might not ever get out of here. Absolutely.
When those bars slam home, that's...
Nowadays, that's true. They may forget about you. They may lose your number.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's happened to people before, yeah.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Well, Zeke, thank you so very much. Happy New Year to you, my friend. You.
Happy New Year, honey.
And we appreciate you being a part of all of this mess down in here.
Oh, I love it. And as a matter of fact... if Judy and I schedule the January show on the 20th, I'll get in touch with you soon about, coming in that week.
Absolutely. We'll do something. We'll get Joel down here with you. Because I know you and Joel have gotten to be pretty good buddies, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Joel's a sweet, sweet guy. We love him to death around here. Yeah. So, I know. And when I tell him, I said, Zeke's looking to come on, he goes, oh, I love Zeke. I love listening to Zeke.
He loves him some Zeke.
And Judy's a hoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a word that I would use to describe Judy Pizer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She's a brass note holder, so you got to be, you got to tip the hat and bow, you got
to
curse.
I have to say more than anything else that by any sensible standards, that place should have gone under 30 years ago.
You're right.
And just
you're absolutely right.
Sheer cussed will, she's kept it going.
Yep.
And I don't care how bad a horse's ass she acts, and at times she is just, y'all know her.
She's
just absolutely unbearable.
When I first worked down on Beale Street, back when 103 was there above Alfred's, mm-hmm. Judy's was right down below us, at Dyer's. The Dyer's Hamburgers right there.
Right.
That was the center for Southern Folklore that went into Wet Willie's over to that side. And that was tough going for her back there for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that whole Beale Street propaganda and all that weird stuff that was going on. So, it was tough.
But
good for her. And I'm glad that you're doing some stuff out there. And And such as it is. So
absolutely.
So there it is. We'll put a fork in that, and we've already lost him.
Yeah, he's already talking now. He's talking shop and stuff now.
People are already headed out the door. So
I know, right?
Such as it is. So there you go.
So there you go.
Okay.
The Broom Closet is your one-stop shop for all of your metaphysical supplies and gifts. We stock candles, herbs, gemstones, incense, salt lamps, and more. We also host monthly rituals and events for those looking to get together with like-minded people. And the Broom Closet is the only place you can get your cards read by me, Reverend Emily. I'm an ordained Wiccan minister and Reiki master. Book your next tarot reading and see what's in the cards for you. Discover conscious living and being connected to an awesome community. The Broom Closet Metaphysical Shop is located in downtown Memphis, or visit our online store at thebroomclosetmemphis.com. The Broom Closet, where magic begins.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Yeah, kids, we've got some live music here in the studio. As you can tell, there was a different voice there. Goodson and Taylor, and that's all right. No, Tyler Goodson and Jimmy Taylor here in studio tonight, the representatives for the solo duo category for the IBC. I have a question that maybe kind of, I don't know if it's difficult or just, I know, maybe awkward to a certain extent. Some of the criteria involves, of course, the time issue, which is a big deal. And then there's the creativity, which you guys certainly have. Everything that you guys are doing is, I think, personally dead on. There are those that will question cover tunes. Is that an issue in your mind at all? Or is it that you are taking these tunes and turning them into yours specifically? I mean, is there a line in that? How is it that you guys feel about playing that type of stuff?
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
And there it was, a great time. Mr. Zeke Johnson, we love him to death. He's been part of our little operation for quite some time now. Every time he comes down is a great time. He's just a sweet, sweet dude, and we're very thankful that he was able to come in and do that. So, once again, my thanks to Zeke Johnson, everybody that came in to make that happen, including Mr. Mark Caldwell, who, if it wasn't for him, Zeke wouldn't have been down there. But Zeke had nothing going on that night, and he didn't want to be at home by himself. So I was like, yeah, come on down and hang out with the youngsters over here at the station. We'll have a few beverages, and we'll eat some snacks, and we'll tell stories. And that's what we did. It was great. So there it is. So my thanks to everybody else that was involved. Steve and Mona were down there, the Seligmans, and there was my friends Shannon and her mother were down there as well. It was just so much fun. So once again, our thanks to everybody that came in and had some fun with us and Zeke. And it was a great way for us to kick off the new year in as crippled of a fashion as it was. And as far as Comcast, boy, howdy, they sure lived up their reputation to being like the worst customer service people on the planet. But nevertheless, there it is. All right, kids, that's it for this episode. You heard what's coming up next time. In the meantime, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another here in the new year. And for God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.